today on Real Radio.
With meekness and gentleness, or the word is with respect, tell the man, you need the Lord. They already know they need the Lord. They want to lose their fight. They want to come to faith in Christ. They're just looking for something worthy to commit their lives to.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called When God Causes Division, continues now in a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Their mission was to spread the gospel both in Jerusalem and throughout the Gentile world, and their passion was for all to come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 13, we learned about some great missionary adventures with the apostles and their companions, including Barnabas, a converted Jew who traveled with the Apostle Paul. Their journeys brought the gospel of Jesus Christ to many of the Gentile nations. Now in Acts chapter 14, verses 1 through 10, we see Paul and Barnabas dealing with division among the people. But God is very much at work in the area of division and may have even caused it. Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that after Paul preached in their synagogue in Iconium, many who were there listening made a decision for Christ. But this caused so much division and threats of violence that Paul and Barnabas barely escaped the city, only stopping to heal a crippled man along the way. And now continuing in his lesson called When God Causes Division, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The scripture declares that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God loves you and has provided a way for you to get to heaven. And the proof of that scripture that you've heard 1,000 times, the fact is, if Jesus Christ is brought up, how is it that division takes place in a sanctuary or an auditorium or at work? You can tell your boss tomorrow at work, hey, boss, how's it going? Not very good. My wife's divorcing me. I'm hooked on drugs. My dog bit me and my car broke down. And you can say, well, I'm going to pray for you. They might even say, well, that's okay. But if you say, want to talk about Jesus? Jesus can help you. Don't bring that name up. They freak out. They can't handle it. The very name of Christ brings division. When Jesus was preached in this midst of people, the division was brought down, and the hearts that were open decided to follow Jesus. The hearts that were not open went against him. And how's your heart this morning? Are you excited about God? Are you excited about the things of God? Is God working in your life? Are you being challenged by God? Or is your life vacant or cold? Maybe there's been a division in your life, but maybe it hasn't been from God. Maybe it's been of men, where your heart's been left bruised, battered, and broken. Listen, Jesus Christ can heal that too. But the fact of the matter is, God brings division, and he's doing it right here in the book of Acts. He will separate the wheat from the chaff, that which is true and that which is false. Look at verse 5. It's so much like the opposition. It says, and when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers, look at this, to abuse and to stone them. Now here you go, look at this carefully. When a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews, it is those who had just come to Christ, some, and it is those who sat neutral. But look at the fine print. With their rulers, the religious leaders came against them. To what? To abuse them and stone them. Listen, people, when Jesus said, and we quoted at the start of the service this morning, if you choose Christ, there's going to be that division between husband and wife and father and son and all that. Listen, the fact of the matter is that when that takes place, people are going to attack you. They're going to rail on you. When the false has nothing more to hang on to, listen carefully, it will resort to abusing and throwing stones. And who in this church has not experienced that in your own personal lives? I remember brand new believer praying over the Thanksgiving dinner with my family. And thank God my brother's a born-again Christian now, but at that time he wasn't. And I remember praying, and as soon as I said amen, he just went ballistic on me. And the fact of the matter is, the reason why that happens is because Jesus is real in your life. We live our lives, we're Christians, love the Lord, but so many people out there, maybe even our own family, they don't even know we're Christians, and will do anything just to keep peace. So many of you are peacemakers, but you know what? At what expense? It's good to be a peacemaker. But Jesus never, never mixed the issues. He never was in a gray zone. We go to our family, and I'm not saying be obnoxious, I'm not saying be mean, but listen, you can tell someone, you can tell mom, you can tell dad, you can tell your daughter or your son, hey, I accepted Jesus Christ. Yeah, fireworks might begin, or maybe nothing will begin, but you've said it. But we so often, we love our families or we love our friends and we're hugging them. And you know how it is? You talk to them about the weather and aren't the Lakers doing? And then what about the UCLA? And oh boy, and how about that? And we're praying, oh God, just have something happen so I can talk to them about Jesus. And God's saying, just say it. Just say something. Oh Lord, I'm just praying right now that you'd open up the door that I could talk to them. And they'll say, how's it going? Dear God, I'm just asking for an opportunity. So what's new in your life? Lord, show me a sign. When should I tell them? Aren't we funny? I was in the grocery store. God says, tell that guy. I go, you tell that guy. You are God. He won't believe me. I sound just like Moses. Who's going to believe? And, you know, basically, the Lord said, you tell him, or else I'll find somebody else to tell him. Well, I don't want you to find somebody else to tell him. I mean, I want to do this, you know. Well, then do it. But I'll look like an idiot. Jack, you already look like an idiot. Just do it. And every time God lays it on my heart, I go up to that guy and I'm like, would you like to talk about Jesus? Would you like to talk about Jesus? Or did you know God loves you? You see somebody in the grocery store, man, and you'll see them there. You'll see them and you know you go down the aisle and you're thinking about anything but the Lord or scripture. You're thinking about where's that thing or where's that deal, and all of a sudden, listen, this happens to you. That guy needs me, and he walks by. I wonder who that could be from. Then you go down the aisle, and he comes up the aisle, and you pass again. As soon as you see him, God's saying, tell him. Every time I've obeyed God's prompting on that, you know what's happened? Not once has somebody said, get out of here. They want prayer, or they are looking for a sign themselves. Is God real? People are thinking, people are wondering, and you've got the message. But we don't want to offend anybody. So we'll pat them on the back and comfort them, and the next thing we do is we get a phone call, and they died or something, and we can't forgive ourselves because we felt the Lord was telling us to say something. And it's a horrible thing. But it's going to cause division. People are not going to accept, not all of them. They're going to fight. G. Campbell Morgan said, when you pick up a rock and throw that rock into a pack of dogs, the dog that yelps the loudest is the dog that got hit with the rock. Isn't that profound? Is that not true? Hey, family, I just accepted Jesus. Most people go, well, that's nice, fine. But there'll be somebody in your family, and they'll say, Jesus freak. Weirdo, maniac, holy roller, Bible thumper. That guy is quite possibly close to the kingdom. When I started at work at my job in 1980 at this laboratory, I'd been there 15 minutes. They brought me up from personnel. I sat down at my desk, and the next thing I knew, there was a belt buckle about ears level. I turned and looked up, and there's this guy standing there with his hands on his hips. Heard you're a Christian. I hadn't even opened my mouth yet. Well, what happened was 2 weeks in advance, the supervisor interviewed me, told everybody on the floor, and we just hired a Jesus freak. So I'm sitting there. Heard you're a Christian. That's right. Well, I'm a Mormon. I'm going to a mind science class. I believe in Est, and I'm following Gene Dixon and all this stuff. This guy was so mixed up. And he goes, so what do you think? I go, it's not important what I think. So he walked away. He came back 15, 20 minutes later. I haven't been on the job an hour yet. I'm not kidding. He came back and he said, what do you think about the things I told you earlier? I said, it's not important what I think. Well, what are you getting at? Are you asking me what the Bible says? Is that what you're trying to ask me? Well, yeah, what does the Bible say? Well, Jesus said that if you do not believe that he is the great I am, that you'll die in your sins and you'll go to hell. Jesus said that, John chapter 8, that's what he said. Well, yeah, but I'm into this. Well, Jesus is not into that. Jesus died on the cross for your sins to give you eternal life. And if you accept him, he'll give you life if you reject him. I mean, that's the gospel. He walked away, turned around, came back, and he goes, opened his mouth to say something. I said, you know what? We're getting paid right now. If you want to talk more about this, meet me at break. And at 9:15, we met for break. And that following Sunday, that dude was in Calvary Costa Mesa with us. He accepted the Lord that day. Isn't that radical? The point is, people who fight, people who want to push it off, people who are, come on, buddy, I will take you on, you Christian. Listen, those guys are looking for something to believe in. They want to fight, give them a reason. Peter tells us, be ready always to give an answer to every man who asks of you for the hope that lies within you. With meekness and gentleness, or the word is with respect, tell them, man, you need the Lord. They already know they need the Lord. They want to lose their fight. They want to come to faith in Christ. They're just looking for something worthy to commit their lives to. And the lunacy that you see on TV, why shouldn't they doubt it? You go from church to church and people are bouncing off the walls or it's dead. Why should they make a commitment to Christ? They need eternal life, and you've got the message to give it to them. Listen to this. This division that comes, God is so often in it to bless and to strengthen us. It says in verse 6, they became aware of it and fled. That is, Paul and Barnabas fled to Lystra and to Derbe, cities of Lyconia. By the way, we're talking about the area of Turkey today. Where the Turkish nation is at, in the surrounding region. And they were preaching the gospel there. Preaching the gospel in that area of Turkey. Listen, amazing things taking place in the Middle East, but not nearly as amazing as the gospel being preached for the first time in this region, as we see here. It says in verse 8, and in Lystra, a certain man, and in my Bible I've got that marked, a certain man, listen, without strength in his feet, number one. Number two, he was crippled from his mother's womb. Number three, he had never walked. A certain man. Whenever you see God working in the Bible, in healings, and in works to bless somebody, it always says a certain man. It says Jesus went to the well and there was a certain woman. Jesus went to this place and there was a certain man, a certain woman. You want to know why? Because God is into restoration and healing. God is into giving you life. You are always a certain man or a certain woman. Don't think for a moment that you're in this place filled up and you're just some number. You're hurting. You think God has left you. You think that it's over for you. Listen, God says to you right now, you're a certain man to me. You're a certain woman to me. Not somebody. You are a certain person that he has ordained to work in your life. And look what he says here. It says, in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. And I want to draw your attention to something. Verse 9 and verse 7 is totally different. Verse 7 says that they were preaching. Verse 9 says that Paul was speaking. The word means conversational speech. It means that after the message or after the outreach, Paul is just talking to a couple of guys. This is a crippled man right down here. And Paul's talking. And what is implied, he's talking about Jesus. He could have said in his general conversation to these guys that's standing around, he might have said, the blind see when Jesus comes into your life. The blind see, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them, and the lame walk. And he was quoting Matthew 11, which he would have said because of Isaiah, Old Testament. He makes that statement. And can you imagine there's people going, well, that's something. That's, wow, no kidding. Well, that's powerful. And there's a lame guy down here, crippled, which means in that culture he's a beggar, ostracized from the culture, from his mother's womb, never walked, no strength in his feet. The word in the Greek is impotent, no power, unable. Paul's standing there talking to these guys, and it says right here that Paul, in verse 9, observed that this man had faith to believe. How do you think he knew? How do you know that? I think this. When Paul was talking to those guys, when he mentioned the lame walk, that guy must have looked up. And I'm going to make this part up right now. It's not in the Bible. I bet that guy could have said there, "Excuse me, did you say that the blind see?" Yes, I did say that. "Did you say that the gospel's preached to the poor?" This guy was a beggar. Yes, I did say that. "Did you say that the dead are raised back to life?" Yeah. "And excuse me, but did you say the lame walk?" Yeah, I sure did. I said the lame walk. Paul looked at this guy, perceiving that he had faith to believe. Listen, I don't know how else to put it, but that guy got fired up over hearing the hope that's in Jesus Christ. Can God heal your life? God can heal your life. God's worked in the lives of all of us in this room. He can do it for you. Don't ever be ashamed that you come into your Bible or into a church asking, "What can God do for me?" A lot of people say, don't ask, you know, what God can do for you, but what can you do for the church? Yeah, forget it. God will take care of the church. Listen, we need God. He needs to take care of us. I need to know what He can do for me. I can't do it myself. He can't wait to do something for you. And so this guy's looking for something. Are you looking for something today? Don't look at any man or any church or any group. They'll let you down. They'll fail you. But Jesus never fails. What a beautiful Jesus we have. And this guy is excited. How do we know? Because when he heard what Paul was saying, he had faith to believe. And look what Paul says. This is great. Paul says in verse 10, "With a loud voice, stand up on your feet." And the guy leaped and he walked. I kind of like Paul here. He could have said, obviously the guy's right in the vicinity. Stand up on your feet and walk. I think there was people standing around. I think Paul went, looked around, left to the right. "Stand up on your feet and walk." So everybody could hear it. And the guy stood up and he walked. And this is a precious thing, and we're going to end with this thought. It says there in the scripture, in verse 9, that he had faith to be healed. The Holy Spirit, who wrote the Bible, said something very strange right here in that word healed. He didn't use the normal word. He used the Greek word here, sozo. Sozo. The word means salvation, to be saved. This guy, Paul, perceiving that he had the faith to believe, implies that it was for salvation. Yes, if I get healed, praise the Lord, but I'm saved, man. I'm going to heaven. He had that in his mind. Salvation. I hear Jesus, this message. I want to be saved. And God blessed him with healing. Is that awesome? We know this for a fact because he used the word sozo, salvation. The man was saved, given life. And he was also beautifully healed. Listen, people, don't ever apologize for asking what Jesus can do for you. What has Islam done for the Islamics? Ask them. The precious people that they are, what has Islam done for them? Look at their nations, wherever that message has gone. What has Buddhism done for the Buddhist? Ask him. Go ahead and ask him. It's okay. Ask him. Say, in all sincerity, my friend, what has Buddhism done for you? What has Confucianism, if I can even say it right, done for the confused? What has it done? Ask them. If they've got the truth, ask them. Now, doggone it, I was so bummed yesterday. I was out pumping up the bicycle tire for my little girl, and the Jehovah's Witnesses were coming down the street. And they've been to my house before, but they haven't been there in a couple years. And they came to the neighbor, to the neighbor, to the neighbor, to the neighbor. They looked at a piece of paper, and they walked right past my house. then went to my neighbor, and then the neighbor, and the neighbor. I was so bummed because I wanted to ask them, what will your cult do for me? What will it do for me? Jesus comes to you this morning, and he says, I am the I am. Ego emi, the eternal existing one. The word is also translated the becoming one. The I am. So Jesus comes to you this morning and he says, I am. And you're supposed to fill in the blank. I am in need of salvation. My name's Joshua. God is your salvation. That's me. I can't make ends meet anymore. I'm in trouble. Jehovah, I am Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, I am your provider. What else do you need? I feel like I'm a sinner. I've sinned. I've blown it. I've been terrible. Jesus stands up and says, I am Tsidkenu. I am your righteousness, Jehovah Tsidkenu. The great thing about our lives is that you cannot this morning produce a need in your life that he can't meet. He says, I am. And he meets it. And he's awesome. If you're suffering from man-made division or from anything else, God will heal you and give you the ability to walk again and be made whole. If God is doing a division in your life, you're a witness for him. Hang tough. Even though stones might come, the Lord will lead you to another place. He's faithful. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you this morning regarding your awesome and precious word that you might, Lord God, this morning reveal even to one person, either, Father, in this sanctuary or by the hearing of this message, to make a decision for Jesus Christ today. They need to have that hope. They need to know that you are the I am. You might this morning want to make a decision for Jesus Christ. You might want to say, I need him as the great I am in my life. I want to give my heart to him. If that's you this morning, slip your hand up where I can see you. Would you like to accept Christ and have your sins forgiven right now this morning? Why don't you raise your hand wherever you're at right now today? Father, in this room, there is no doubt hearts that have been broken by the division, not of you, but of men, and they're hurt. Father, we pray that you would touch the lives that feel so abused and so mistreated and so ripped off and disillusioned. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that we would remember that it is you who is the author and finisher of our faith, and no church, no system, no man. Lord, we commit into your hands these that have raised their hands and those who need your touch in Jesus' name.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called When God Causes Division. Thanks for listening. And when God divides, his desire is to have people walking again and to mend that which is broken. When God Causes Division is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. If you responded to Pastor Jack's call to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we'd love to know about it. And if you're not sure what to do next, let us help you by pointing you in the right direction. Simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Contact tab. Reallifewithjackhibbs.org also has a Know God tab that gives special presentations of the gospel to help reaffirm your decision for Christ. Pastor Jack also offers devotions to help deepen your walk with God, and you can access all that by downloading the Real Life app on your smartphone or tablet. So check out the Real Life app at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.